Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Wilsonville, Oregon. And today is Wednesday, February 20th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Bill's Story on page 9, paragraph 7. Starting at the very bottom of that page, we're going to unpack that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marissa E., the Traditions, CJH, and reading the text and support today is Robin P., Liz T., Liat TD. The share ID number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that would be Tuesday, February 19th, 2019, is 12567, 12,567. And then the share ID number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Wednesday, February 20th, 2019, 7 a.m., is 12573, 12,573. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for Your Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marissa E. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E., recovered outside Los Angeles. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Marissa E. I will now ask CJH to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Melanie. Hi, everybody. CJ, compulsive eater in snowy Northern Virginia. Our 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thanks so much, CJH. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Please exercise the star 1 for muting rather than just muting on your own handheld, because otherwise it will interfere with technology and recording. Thank you for that consideration. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Bill's Story. On page 9, we're going way down to the bottom of the page to start and read a single paragraph today, which was number 7. And that begins with, he had come to pass, and then ends over at the top of 10, and I had to be, for I was hopeless. And I'm going to ask Robin P. to open us up this morning with that discussion by reading that paragraph and then commenting her experience on that paragraph. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Mel. I really appreciate being here. God bless everybody. I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. He had come to pass his experience along to me, if I cared to have it. I was shocked but interested. Certainly I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. You know, I came into this program completely hopeless. The things that I had done with food were so shameful, I couldn't even admit it to myself. I pretended that when I came into this program, that I was here to lose a few extra pounds. I couldn't even admit that I was bulimic and anorexic at times, because I felt so ashamed. And I felt completely hopeless. I had tried everything. Left to my own devices, I had literally tried everything I had ever heard about, and nothing worked. And, you know, the power of hope is very profound for me, because when I believe that I can, I can. And I'm so grateful to have hope today, and to have faith, and to keep practicing faith. You know, and in the steps today, I get to turn my will and my life over to the care of a loving God, not an abusive, not a set me up for, but it's the care of a loving God. And I get to practice these principles in all my affairs, so that I get to trust and have hope today that I'm in God's loving care, and that I get to pray only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. That keeps things really simple. And, you know, his friend, he was his drinking buddy, you know, and I got eating buddy. And then all of a sudden, you know, for an angel to come, who used to be one of the bedevilment people, you know, to show up as an angel, that's a miraculous event. And I've had a lot of those miraculous events where angels show up right on time in my life and never to be taken for granted. And the only way that people could stay sober and abstinent for us is to share this message and to practice these principles in our 12 steps. And that's, so when I'm, you know, sharing, it's because I'm putting money in the bank for my own recovery. And that's the only way that it works for me, is to share what I've been so freely given. And to say that, you know, I was shocked but interested, because if someone was your binging buddy and then all of a sudden there they are, abstinent and glowing, that's a miracle. And that's grace in action. I'm so happy to be here. God bless everybody in your recoveries. I hope you all have a wonderful abstinent day. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. The lines are open now for additional people to share on that paragraph, the bottom of page 9, paragraph 7. He had come to pass his experience. We're going to unpack that one paragraph today. If you're interested in sharing, I'd love to hear from you. Your first name and last initial, first initial of your last name, please.
Mo H.
Jang.
I heard somebody after Mo, which is a somebody, Jane, and then Ginger. Hang on just a second. I want to get that second name.
Chrissy Jane, K.
I think that's what it was, Chrissy Jane. Yep, gotcha then. Thank you so much. And then after Ginger, we're open again.
Aaron B.
Aaron B.
Johnny B.
Johnny B. One more, please.
Marissa E.
Hi, Marissa.
Hi.
I have Mo H., Chrissy Jane, Ginger C., Aaron B., Shawnee B., and Marissa E. Hi, good morning, Mo.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater in Walnut Creek, California. Glad to be back on the line. I have been in absentia for a while away, but anyway, he had come to pass. Okay, so what came up for me right away is the person who finally passed along their experience to me, my Ebby, was 3 years ago, after all my years in the program, 1989 to now, to three years ago, finally passed along their experience of studying the Big Book. And I had read the Big Book, but I had never studied the Big Book. And then on the next page, it said, if I cared to have it. And one of her questions to me was I desperate and was I willing? And I was very desperate because I was face down into the sugar for 2 months and it was killing me. And I knew what I was doing, but I couldn't stop. I cared to have it. And that's what I hope when I ask sponsees that same question. But you know, I just asked them and see what they say. Bill was shocked, but interested. And the shock for me was when my Ebby said to me, are you willing to go through the 12 steps in 30 days? And that shocked me. I'd never gone through the steps that fast in my life, ever. It had been a slow, easy, lots of questions, lots of talking, and never really digging in and getting through the steps through to get to 10, 11, and 12, which is where I need to be to work my program. And it looks like Bill is starting to come around now. He's starting to make a turn. He was interested. He had to be, for he was hopeless. And I can say all those same things. I was interested. I had to be, for I was hopeless. I was hopelessly into the sugar. And I couldn't believe how fast the disease got back to me after not having sugar and flour for 5 years. I picked up, and it's like the disease progresses as fast as my recovery progresses. So it was not force-fed to me. It was just very gently we opened the big book and we started studying it one step at a time, one page at a time. And I started asking her questions and I started understanding it. So her message was one of depth and weight, which is what I hear on these lines say to me. And I'm truly grateful to be back. And thanks, Melanie, for your service. And I will pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Chrissy Jane K., you're next, and then Ginger will come in after you. Star one, Chrissy Jane, please.
This is Chrissy Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi.
If we get a diagnosis of cancer, we pack our bags, jump in the car, and fly 100 miles an hour to the Cancer Center of America. We stop everything we're doing. But when we talk about this program, we try to fit it into our lives. Well, if it's not too hard, and if it doesn't interfere with my work and my this and my taking my kids here and my taking care of this and that, then I guess I'll do it. But I can't make too many phone calls, dot, dot, dot. And what we don't realize is we are going 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. And we have to stop and turn around and change our lives and go in a different direction. Because if we're doing the same things, we're not going to get a different result. And this is a cancer. This is life and death. And I don't want to convince anybody that way. But when you are desperate that minute, you have it. But after you lose 20 pounds, you lose that desperate. And you don't want to work so hard. But this program is right there. This disease is out there in the parking lot doing push-ups, just waiting for you to slip up. And we need each other to show each other that it is like cancer and it is that serious. And we have to stop and turn around. And Bill is out of work. And so many of us are still working. And we haven't lost our house. And we haven't lost our husbands and our children and our everythings. But we can't stick the program in. We can't fit it into our lives like going home from a pay and wait program and fit that into our lives. It's not the same. And when we turn our lives around to God, it's different. It's a different kind of turning around. And it just takes a total different attention span. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Chrissy Jane. Ginger C., you're up. Aaron B. will follow.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. It's Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and thank you for your continued service, and hello to everyone on the line. And I'm just sitting listening to this passage and the shares before and just in awe that today I do not see food as any type of solution to life. And all I knew for so many years was this hopeless state of mind and body, because food was no longer serving or helping me, yet I couldn't stop eating. And that's a really painful existence. And I was like, what is going on with this picture? I'm 24 years sober and Alcoholics Anonymous. I put the plug in the jug. Why can I not put the fork down? And I really thought that I never would be out of the nightmare. I never thought that day would come because it just never changed. I'd maybe get a little bit of white-knuckled abstinence because I still had that allergic component coming in. And then I would be back in a full-blown relapse with pain on top of me. So thank God for the grace of God, because anyone that's recovered today, it is only because of that power between you and the bite that you're experiencing this. And then thank God, especially for those Eddies, the person walking around with a message that, yes, you too can have this experience. You first have to say goodbye to the food, and probably in a way you have never said goodbye before. Sugar was easy. When God told me I had to give up cheese, I about wanted to hit him. But willing to go to any lengths for victory, because I'm dying here and I need help. And I no longer want to have this experience. So say goodbye to the food and say hello to your life in a way that you've never experienced before. And now I just have this daily reprieve to wash, rinse, and repeat, to be the boots on the ground, and to do God's work. And I never know what's coming around the corner. I just stay open. And yesterday I had the privilege and honor of walking with my friend as he was taking his last breath, dying from MS, and letting him know that you're not alone, Joe. We're here walking this path with you, and you fought a great fight. And I had no idea that I'd be in his room doing that. It was not even on my radar, but God spoke to me and I showed up, because I can show up today. I'm no longer eating and dying in my bed, isolated, separated, and alone. I'm with God and God's love and showing up and doing God's work. And an hour later, after leaving his room, he did die. So it's unbelievable what can happen. And it's nothing about me. I lie, I cheat, I steal. I self-sabotage and destruct over and over. But I've allowed God in my heart. I was reborn through this book. And I'm just amazed what continues to happen with God's love. So if you're in the food, put it down. Say goodbye. I hope today's pain's enough pain for you to be motivated and work it like the desperate, the drowning, and the dying. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Aaron B., you're up. And then Shawnee B. will follow you.
Hi. My name is actually Aaron D., as in door. This wow, what a powerful paragraph, even though it's only about four sentences long. Here it is, you know, we get Bill W., who has come to hear, who's heard about, who has had someone witness to him the power of recovery, you know, the power of living free because of recovery, you know. And what happens to us when we recognize that we're hopeless and we have nowhere else to turn because we've tried everything else, like Weight Watchers or counting calories, you know, and for some of us, even turning away from certain foods because we thought that those were our problems, you know. There are some of us for whom even that didn't solve the problem, because it was the compulsive bite for some of us that was that ended up being the solution. And as we progress and work and continue to study the big book and work the 12 steps, we realize that our solution doesn't have to be food anymore. In fact, it can't be if we want to live. Our solution has to be turning to a higher power and then reaching out to carry the message to others, you know. And just to speak a little bit for myself, you know, I never realized just how much of my time and energy was sucked up into seeking a reprieve through compulsive eating until I hit my bottom and really began working the steps in earnest, working it quickly with my sponsor within 3 weeks, really, and then hitting steps 10, 11, and 12 and realizing that man, the real reprieve from overeating comes in those three steps. you know, being able to make that daily inventory and report it to my sponsor, turn to God every day for guidance and direction, and then carrying the message with others, you know, which is what we're doing here today. And what freedom is that? Because there is an abuse that takes the focus off of me and puts it where it belongs, on God and other people. You know, because if the focus goes back on me, then I go back to my old solution, food, which was killing me, and not helping others. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Aaron D. We have a couple more people that are in the lineup to comment on this paragraph, and then we'll open up it again for some other ones to share. So in case you just came on late, we're on page 9 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is Bill's story, clear down at the bottom of the page, focusing on one paragraph, paragraph 7. He had come to pass his experience along to me. So get ready to be able to share. Meantime, Shawnee B., you're next, and then Marissa will come in after you.
Hi, thank you so much for your service and for letting me share. So I guess I just, it's a really great paragraph, and it's kind of crazy because I'm reading the words or the sentence, certainly I was interested, I had to be for I was hopeless, and I've actually experienced, I've been in recovery for a little over a year, and I started to have these like thoughts come into my head, you know, maybe you're not so hopeless, maybe you're not like as intensely, you know, ill as, you know, others in this program, you know, just a lot of like, maybe you're just powerless, maybe you're not hopeless, maybe this isn't, you know, and like, these are like some recent thoughts that have come to me since I've put the food down and like this miracle of like, it's just not about food anymore. And so like, maybe I don't have this problem. And I'm very blessed that I ask God daily for the willingness to get on a meeting. If I can't get on a meeting, to listen to a podcast, because these like sneaky thoughts remind me, I'm sorry, these sneaky thoughts make me think that I haven't felt the hopelessness and the intense like unmanageability. And having the willingness and praying for the willingness to get onto a meeting and to hear shares and to also study the Big Book, to really make the effort to read the Big Book, allows me to really remember, to open up my mind to the idea that there was a time where I was just like, okay, I'll try this because I literally am so hopeless, even though this is like really weird. This is like really uncomfortable. This is very strange, this whole like, you know, God stuff, but I don't have a choice. And I'm grateful today for the willingness to be on this meeting, for the willingness to share the, you know, the innermost thoughts of my disease, of my, whatever you want to call it, of my ego that seems to just try to get at me in any occasion when things are great, try to get at me and make me think, you know, oh, maybe I don't need this. And the willingness to continue to live in 10, 11, and 12 and to continue to walk with humility, because I think that sometimes even our ego gets into our program, and that's where the problem can start. And to remember the hopelessness and the powerlessness is truly a gift. So thank you, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Shawnee B. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Marissa E., you're next, and then we'll open it up again.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows, newcomers, compulsive overeaters still suffering. This is Marissa E., recovered outside Los Angeles. I'm just trying to picture, right? I'm trying to identify in. I'm trying to imagine myself, right, after a big binge, you know, after a couple weeks of binging and someone coming to me, right, with 2 months of entire abstinence. And I say it like that because I do judge people based on time, right? For some reason, I believe that if someone has 20 years of entire abstinence, the quality of their recovery is better than someone with 2 months. but at the same time, Bill related to Ebby because they drank the same, and it was a miracle, right? It was an act of providence. It was an act of God that Ebby had been sober for 60 days. And, you know, it worked. He did. He shared that experience. And then it was so, I looked up if I cared to have it, which means like if you want to do something about it, like, oh, would you care to sit down? Like, do you want to do something about the fact that you're standing? For 10 years in OA, I did not care to have it. I really didn't. I think I wanted to have it. I wanted to care, but I didn't. And then I heard about A Vision for You last January, and for months, right? I wanted to care to have it. What you guys had on the line, I was shocked, right? Entire abstinence and recovered compulsive overeaters and practicing these principles. But I didn't care to have it. I was just interested, right? And I had to be, right? Me too, because I was hopeless, but it took what it took. And I hear people, I get calls now and they're like, you know, what do I do to stop eating? And I don't know, right? I feel like it was just like a combination, just like right now in this paragraph, right? It's just a combination of Ebby and Bill and Bill's hopelessness and the month and the day and the time and the year where, you know, a higher power was able to come in. The gift of sobriety, the gift of abstinence was given, and he just had this unexplained desire, right? You know, I can't explain it, but I'm just grateful that I have it. And I hope now too that I can give that same shock, right? That same hope to the person who's still suffering. And 6 months from now, you can be giving this share, right? You can get recovered. This, if it can happen for me, if it can happen for Bill, if it can happen for Ebby, it can happen for you too. So with that, I pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, Marissa E. The lines are open now for additional shares on the paragraph that we're unpacking today, paragraph 7 on page 9.
Ravina
D.
R.
Future self.
Did I hear Kathy D?
Yes, Kathy
and I,
D.
Did I hear
Colorado.
In Colorado, that's what I heard. Okay, and then I heard Beatrice.
Yeah,
Gina.
R. Clara C.
Here, Gina R. Something C.
Oh, sorry, Clara G.
Clara G.
Rowena.
Rowena. I can do one more.
Donna G.
Donna, that's it. That's what I can do this morning. Okay, so if I have this right, it's Gina R, Kathy D, Beatrice O. Let me say that correctly. It's actually Beatrice O first, then Gina R, Kathy D, Tara, Rowena, and Donna. Good morning, Beatrice.
Good morning.
You are on.
Is it my turn?
It is. You're first this morning.
Okay. All right. Thank you. This is Beatrice from Northern California. And the part that really hits me is I lost track of what I was going to say, but the part that really hits me is that I had to do a lot of searching before I decided I wanted to try that. I was always interested, but the part where I decided to put the food down is when I made the decision to my innermost self that I was a food addict, that I couldn't handle this anymore, and I had to put it down. I've been abstinent off and on for many years, and this time around, I made that decision in my heart that I was going to put the food down and turn to God, because I was pretty hopeless this last year. I was on disability. I was on antidepressants. I was on the couch. I couldn't work anymore. And I had been in relapse for like 10 years. So when I was able to get abstinent, I feel that it was the grace of God, because this last time I think I was begging God to help me. And it was that hopelessness that I was really willing to turn my back on food, because I was dying. And I don't know what it takes, but I've been abstinent many, many times. And this time I feel like I finally made that decision to turn to God, and instead of using food. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Beatrice. And let's see, Gina R., you're next, and then Kathy D. will come in after you.
Good morning, Mel. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I live in Green Valley, Arizona. And, yeah, I want to just especially also welcome any newcomer on the line who is seeing this last sentence and thinking about what it means to be hopeless. And for me, I was the person who always seemed to be able to mount up another response to life. I would get busy with workaholism or being overly involved in outside commitments, like through my church or my community. And I would just stay super busy. And I know now that for me, busy stands for being under Satan's yoke. And in this respect, it's the disease. That's what I see, is I was under the disease's yoke. And when I got to the end of myself and realized that I truly was hopeless, which meant that I didn't have the ability to anticipate a desire to want something else, I was actually thinking about how great it would be to not wake up. Now, I didn't do anything about it. I didn't have what people call suicidal ideation. I wasn't coming up with plans to do anything, but those were the thoughts I was having going to bed and waking up, is what would it be like to just not wake up? And fortunately, my Abby, who spoke just a few people ago, shared her experience, strength, and hope with me. And I was able to kind of be jostled to the point where I realized that I literally was dying to myself, and that there were parts of me that were going to have to go underground. And so that's how I see it now, is my hopeless state of mind and body at the time meant that it had to be buried. And I don't like the idea of being buried, but when I thought about it some more and allowed God to unpack it for me, what it meant was I was being planted. I was being planted so the thing in me that was originally part of the design could actually come to growth. And that's what happened for me. I accepted that very dark place that I was and realized that I was being planted so that something new that was my original design could actually come forth. I got busy in a different way. I threw off the shackles of the things that were keeping me down, and I started doing what people told me to do, and I'm so grateful to be here. And with that, I pass.
Melanie, we can't hear you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Marissa. It's Kathy D's time now to share from Colorado. Star one, please. And then Clara G will follow Kathy.
Hi, it's Kathy. May I be heard?
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, good morning. This is a powerful few sentences, and I had to be, for I was hopeless. So this reminds me of the part in the big book where it says there are two choices. One is to blot out our consciousness to the bitter end. I think that's how it's put. And one is to recover. I came into visions after a long career in OA, 10 years of which were very successful and easy, 14 years of which were hell. And so last year at this time, I was working through my first set of steps the way that it's taught here. And I had a good few months of sort of a honeymoon period again, and it was a miracle. And working through the steps, it was like, wow, these promises are really coming true, really coming true. And then I, what the previous person was saying about busy, so that's been my MO my entire life, was to be overbooked, overcommitted, volunteering for 100 different things, in order to not feel and to feel important and to keep the anxiety that has plagued me pretty much my entire adult life at bay. So the last few months have not been easy. They've in fact been really, really, really tough as I struggle to find emotional sobriety. By putting down other problems, other patterns in my life that have kept me sick. And I'm coming off of about a 3-week period of stress, too much stress and excitement, and my health has suffered a great deal. I have a lot of health issues. But I'm feeling some hope today because I'm starting to get the effect that I kept seeking in outside worldly stuff. I'm starting to get that effect from the program, and it's a miracle. I do work this program really hard, and now it's taken priority in my life. Thank you, God. I thought I'd never get to that point where it was like, okay, this is my life, and I work everything else around it. My kids, my husband are very busy business, and it's a miracle, you know. Before, it was just like, okay, where can I'm going to have my life, and where can I fit these other things? Where can I fit my program in? And that was not working for me. So anyway, I do feel desperate enough today to work this as the number one priority in my life. And I know if I keep doing that, then I'm going to keep recovering. And that's a gift. Thank you for letting me share, Kathy in Colorado.
Thank you, Kathy D. Clara G, you're next, and then Rowena will follow you. Hi, Clara. Star one, please.
I'm sorry, I was muted. This is Clara G. I like this paragraph that it talks about being interested. My main obsession since I am a teenager was my weight, what I ate, how the clothes were fitting. Didn't matter what else was going on in my life. I mean, if I was having a baby, the most important thing for me was how fat I am, how much I weigh, and then let's see the baby. But a complete obsession about my body. So I was always interested in finding ways on how to get rid of excess weight. Bulimia was like a fantastic idea. I know it's disgusting for some people, but to me it sounded really excellent. And so I did that for a long time. Then it stopped working. Any ideas about diet? I did the surgery twice, actually. I did the gastric bypass twice. Anything that would interest me because it was my main obsession. And you know, if I was having a great day, everything in my life was going good, but then the pants felt tight or the bra felt tight, that did it for me. It was like complete a bad mood instantly, just feeling something was tight because I knew I was gaining weight. And so anything would interest me. And when this program came about, of course, it interested me. And so I started doing it. I like this program more than anything that I have tried because it got my weight down and it keeps it down. Unless, you know, that's different than the other things because many things got my weight down. But once it was down, it started going up. And so then besides the weight, it has helped me with my mental obsession. I mean, I have other priorities in my life now than just thinking about how much I weigh and how do I look. I mean, so superficial, really, you know. It works on other problems that didn't let me be happy, like being completely selfish and self-centered and self-seeking. And it's teaching me how not being self-centered and self-seeking and like that is really what gets me to feel happy. So it's a whole thing. It's not only to lose weight, but it's also to find truly happiness, which I had no idea, you know, how to go about happiness. Because I thought that, you know, basically if I could be thin, I could be happy. But of course, that's not it. I can be thin and unhappy. Once I get to be thin, then I could see that, you know, that wasn't the solution. But now I'm very grateful because not only I am thin, like I always wanted to be thin, but also I have peace of mind. I have serenity. I started being a better wife, mom. Okay, thank you very much. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much. We have two people yet to share, and it looks like we have about three and a half minutes. So if you all could take 2 or less minutes, that would be helpful for each of you to come in. And it would be Rowena K. and then Donna G. Rowena, you're okay. First.
Thank you. Hi, it's Rowena K., recovered compulsive overeater.
Shut up, cunt.
I came into the program looking for a solution, and that was almost 10 years ago. And it was 3 years before I actually was prepared to even look at doing the steps, because when I came in, to this day I can't really understand why I came in, because I resisted everything. So although I was in the rooms, I wasn't ready to receive help. You know, I was asking for it but not ready to receive it. And I kept leaving. But the reason I always came back was because everything else was hopeless. You know, I had tried everything else, and there just was nowhere else to go other than these rooms. And, you know, people on this line pass me their experience every day with every share, and it's every single one of them that passes me their experience, even, you know, the one that just tore at me. But finally, I'm actually ready to receive it, and I'm interested. And today I woke up and, you know, for me, it's not normal to think, how can I be of service to this person? That is not something that would ever come, you know, a thought that would come into my radar. But I actually woke up this morning, and for the first time in my recovery, I prayed to my higher power, how can I be of service to this person? And I actually went into work, you know, and looked at people, but silently in my head said, how can I be of service to this person? But that has replaced the thought of
time.
You know, I'll pass to that. Thank you.
That is rather short, but that's the time we have today, unfortunately, Rowena. Donna G., you'll carry us to the end of this recorded time. Thank you.
Okay. This is Donna G., a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. I just wanted to share my gratefulness for A Vision for You. He had come to pass his experience along to me, and I am so grateful. Been working the steps for about 3 months now, and I am so, so grateful for this line, for everybody sharing their experience, being willing to be vulnerable and being willing to day in and day out put it out there. If I cared to have it, and I think that's the piece I'm really learning. I am very, very independent, extremely self-sufficient by nature. You know, that's who I am, and very proud. And so I'm learning to open myself not only to listening, but also to my in-person group members who have lots to share, and, you know, answering their calls and trusting in my higher power that it's all meant to be. So I just wanted to share my gratefulness and to encourage newcomers to keep listening, keep coming, and keep opening yourself. It's really, really worth it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna G. Thank you for that consideration. It was just a teeny bit of time. And that concludes then the portion of our sharing that we're going to be doing today in the recorded time. So we'll close out this bit. And thank you to everyone that shared today, and especially for Team Wednesday for making sure that this meeting is possible. It takes a lot of volunteers, and please consider doing that. And thank you again for this meeting today. We will close now with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that up with a serenity prayer, and then we'll follow that up with greeting newcomers. So stay with us. You're invited to stay. So will Liz T. please read, "Our book is meant to be suggestive only."
Good morning. My name is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Thank you for your service, Melanie. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.